This is Cassie Herring, a mother who's lost custody of her newborn baby, sleeping outside so she can breastfeed her infant every few hours.
I'm coming.
But that's not where this remarkable story begins. Cassie fell in love with Billy Fox, a dad, great with kids.
He's funny, nice, loving.
They became a family, happy, growing.
With Cameron, he was a perfect baby.
Then, one Friday night, everything changed.
It sounded like they hit hard. He let out a gasp of air.
He just ran in.
He was frightened. I tried to do rescue breathing for him.
Billy and Cassie say Cameron's death was a tragic accident. But as Susan Spencer reports, that's not how the doctors see it.
Somebody in that family killed this child.
Billy is accused.
I'm not a baby killer.
Cassie swears he's innocent, and then she's forced to give up her other children.
Taking a newborn baby away from its mother is a pretty drastic step.
But is it all a tragic mistake? 48 Hours investigates. Prime suspect.
I've been a single dad for over 4 years.
Come on, Rocky. Get it.
I don't go fishing, hunting. That's my hobby. My kids and their friends and, you know, coaching soccer.
Good shot, Vicky.
33-year-old Billy Fox, father of two, soccer coach.
One, two, three.
To all appearances, an all-around regular guy.
Officer Harold, police department.
But Billy Fox is about to turn himself in to the police.
I know.
His mother and girlfriend Cassie look on as police book him in the death of a baby. A charge that could put him in prison for the rest of his life.
He's a soccer coach, raised his kids, and it's wrong. It's really wrong.
Cross it!
Billy Fox may be one of the last people in Wichita Falls, Texas, you'd ever think would hurt a child.
Rocky.
Friends say that when he's not coaching soccer, Billy is a devoted single dad. He has full custody of his kids, Skylar and James.
He did everything. I mean, he cleaned house, he cooked. My dad was a good cook, though. Like, he was better at the more cookout kind of stuff. Just a regular dad. He's funny, nice, loving, big time.
What attracted me so much to Billy is what a wonderful father he was.
Cassie Herring first met Billy in the fall of 2000, a few years after his divorce, when Skylar was 8 and James was 11.
Our first date was Halloween, and we took the kids, the neighborhood kids, trick-or-treating.
Cassie also was raising two kids on her own.
Here's the first picture of Peyton and Cameron. That was
Peyton was 2 years old.
Cameron was, he weighed 7 pounds, 4 ounces, perfect complexion.
And Cameron, a newborn. Cassie and her husband had split up a few months before his birth.
With Cameron, I loved him like he was my own, and he was a perfect baby.
Here's Sky, here's your dad's.
In a matter of months, they all were under one roof.
Having little brothers, that was fun, because I got to like teach them to do stuff.
Peyton, yeah, like he just started gradually calling my dad. It felt like life was really kind of getting better to where, you know, like I got a mom, I got, you know, like a bigger family kind of thing.
It just felt natural. We were on our way to being a great, happy family.
But in less than 6 months, events would shatter this new family. May 11th, 2001.
The kids were outside playing basketball and playing in the yard.
A Friday, around dinner time, an ordinary evening. 7-month-old Cameron was playing on the living room floor. When Billy's son James came inside, Billy asked him to pick up Cameron and bring him to the kitchen.
I was folding clothes on the table, on our little kitchen table.
And how did you trip?
I tripped on my shoelaces.
Cameron's head hit the kitchen floor. Concrete covered by a layer of tile.
And Cassie was getting frantic because we heard him hit. It sounded like they hit hard.
Fearing that Cameron was badly hurt, they rushed him to the emergency room at United Regional Healthcare.
When you got to the hospital, what did the doctors tell you?
He treated me like I was an idiot. I mean, like, there was nothing wrong with him, and I knew something was wrong. I remember his eyes rolling the back of his head, and that really scared me. And he had some foam coming out of his mouth.
X-rays showed no skull fractures, and doctors told Cassie her son would be fine, but to bring him back if his condition worsened.
Were you satisfied when you left the hospital that it was going to be okay?
I felt uneasy, but I believed the doctor.
I felt reassured by the doctor.
But the next day, Billy and Cassie both say Cameron just wasn't himself.
On Saturday, we went to the Y thinking that he would want to swim and, you know, would be happy in the water because he loved the water. And it was like he didn't even, you know, he didn't even want to do anything.
It's like he doesn't even know who we are, like he has amnesia.
Did you think about going back to the doctor?
I just trusted what the doctor said.
I went with the understanding that he said he's going to be a little groggy.
One day later, Sunday, around 5 o'clock, Cassie and Skylar decided to go shopping. When they left, Billy and Peyton were on the couch watching cartoons. Cameron was asleep in his crib.
Cameron woke up, so I went back there and got Cameron out of his crib, made Cameron a bottle, and tried to feed it to him.
And then, says Billy, within seconds, Cameron began to have a seizure.
He took about 2 sips, and his hand started twitching, and he let out a gasp of air, like he was choking, and so I just immediately picked him up.
Billy rushed the baby to a neighbor, a nurse who lived right down the street.
Why didn't you call 911?
Because he wasn't breathing, and I knew that I had a registered nurse 4 houses down.
He just ran in. He was frightened. He was scared to death.
Tammy Edwards was getting ready for work.
I took the baby from him and I laid him down over here on the couch and I tried to do rescue breathing for him.
And she couldn't get his airway, couldn't get air to his airway.
Each breath that I could not get in, I just looked at him and I said, Billy, this is not good.
When he went limp, I didn't know, I'll probably never have another feeling like that in my entire life.
And I just looked at him and told him to call 911.
An ambulance arrived within minutes and sped Cameron to the hospital.
I was in shock. I was terrified.
And that was wrong.
Cassie raced to the emergency room, only to discover that Cameron was about to be flown to Fort Worth, Texas. By the time she and Billy got there to Cooks County Hospital, there was little hope.
I think that was like the last time, I knew something was really, really bad.
Cameron Herring, not yet 8 months old, died the next day.
It's like the more the time goes on, the more I think, I don't have my baby. I don't have my child, and he doesn't have his mommy.
But how did Cameron really die?
Somebody shook this child very violently.
I just don't see it that way.
The medical experts weigh in. Billy Fox is the prime suspect.
I'm not a baby killer.
Is he telling all he knows?
I remember sitting in the emergency room and everything collapsed.
Cassie Herring is sure her son's death is a result of a fall Friday night when his head struck the kitchen floor.
I mean, I remember I kept telling everybody, you just don't understand. It's from Friday night. It's from Friday night.
No, it's not an accidental sort of thing. I'm angry. I'm shaking.
But neurologist Jeffrey McLaughlin and several other doctors who examined Cameron are convinced that the baby's fatal injury had nothing to do with his fall on Friday.
Having been dropped 2 days before doesn't give you the picture that we saw that morning in the intensive care unit.
They kept telling us somebody did this, somebody did something to him, and we kept saying, you don't understand, you know, he hit his head Friday night.
In fact, police and social workers began their investigation before Cameron even was pronounced dead.
It was like their mind had already been made up.
No matter what she told the hospital doctors, Cassie says, they insisted Cameron's death was no accident. Medical examiner Dr. Mark Krause agrees.
Somebody in that family killed this child. To me, the evidence is clear and convincing.
After completing his autopsy on 7-month-old Cameron, Krause thinks he can pinpoint how and when Cameron died.
He died from a blunt head injury that was inflicted on the early Sunday afternoon. Whoever was around him at the moment he became unconscious is the person you should be looking at.
And who was the last person with Cameron on Sunday before his fatal seizure?
Anyone that knows me knows I would never hurt a child.
Billy Fox. In December of 2001, Billy Fox was charged with injury to a child. Maximum sentence, life in prison.
What they're going on is an autopsy report that labels this as a homicide.
All right. Fine.
Billy hired defense lawyer Bob Estrada.
Anyone just come on down?
Yeah. It's already been a hard, grueling road for them. And on top of having a baby die, then the accusing finger's been pointed to them.
Billy and his lawyer are up against the medical examiner's report. A damning document.
An injury to the part of the brain that you describe causes
immediate unconsciousness, no regaining of consciousness. The person.
Dr. Krause says Cameron's brain injury was so severe, the baby would have been unconscious just seconds after it occurred.
Instantly?
Yes, ma'am.
Not
instantly.
10 minutes,
no.
Not 15 minutes?
No.
Therefore, says Dr. Krause, that brain injury could not have happened on Friday, because Cameron never would have survived for 2 more days.
If that part of your brain is injured, you are not walking, you're not talking.
I mean, you say someone did this. What do you think someone did?
Most likely propelled the child into a relatively soft surface, a padded flooring, couch cushion, mattress, you know, kind of over the shoulder motion, like the guys do spiking a football or a slam dunk.
I didn't do it.
You had nothing to do with this child's death.
I love Cameron with all my heart.
Not even something that was a freak accident, a sudden outburst of temper, whatever.
No. Nope.
Absolutely nothing. It's just as you describe.
Bob Estrada believes completely in his client.
The last guy in the world that you would figure would do anything like this.
Insisting that Billy Fox is just not capable of hurting a baby.
Why do you strongly believe these people?
Well, for one thing, I mean, I've gotten to know them over a period of time.
Come on, James. Come on, Scholar.
You know, I see how they react with their own children.
See y'all tomorrow.
I see how Billy is.
And Estrada has found his own experts who look at the same medical records and believe Billy's story.
The injuries that this little boy received are entirely consistent with and directly attributable to the fall that he had 2 days earlier.
Dr. Ronald Usinski, a neurologist who has specialized in pediatric head injuries,
let me have some suction.
Believes Cameron began to have internal bleeding around his brain after he fell and hit his head on Friday.
It was the effect of the blood on the surface of the brain provoking a seizure. When he seized, he obstructed his airway and he aspirated and he died.
Nothing in your mind need have happened on Sunday.
That's correct. That's absolutely correct. Nothing need have happened on Sunday.
You absolutely believe that a child can die from a shortfall and, in fact, can die 2 days later, in essence, from a shortfall.
Yes, I do.
If little falls could kill us, then none of us would make it to 5 years old. This doesn't make sense.
Bolstered their case that Cameron was injured on Sunday, the state turned to Dr. Randall Alexander, an authority in the field of pediatric head trauma.
So somebody, some adult-sized person, shook this child very violently, perhaps also hit their head against something in the process of that. And from that point on, the child basically was unconscious and dying.
The prosecution's expert witnesses agree on one thing. Someone did something that Sunday. But they disagree exactly as to what, and that could be very confusing for the jury. Dr. Krause thinks the baby was thrown against something soft. A mattress?
Mattress.
Pillow?
Couch cushion.
Dr. Alexander thinks he was shaken first.
When we're talking about shaking, the kind we see with shaken baby syndrome, looks more like this.
Gosh.
This is a brain-breaking force. Once they have this, they're not recovering.
Attorney Bob Estrada thinks this battle of the experts actually could help his client.
If the experts cancel each other out, is the trial going to come down just to whether they believe that this father could do this?
That's my strategy. That's where I think the heart of the trial is.
I'm innocent. I'm not a baby killer.
Feel so empty, you don't want to go on, but yet you have to go on for your other kids.
Thinking of, you know, like you're going to lose your dad kind of thing, that's not really a good feeling. And then, I mean, you've already lost one thing, they're going to take another one away.
But even as Cassie, Billy, and their kids prepare for a trial that could send Billy away for a long time,
we have fought so hard to keep our family together.
They're about to face another loss. Authorities now are threatening to take away 2-year-old Peyton.
Tell Mommy bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
It's like, I don't even know how to explain it. It's like a big piece of you is missing, and it'll never come back.
Cassie Herring has said goodbye to her infant son, Cameron.
I never doubted Billy at all, even the day they told me that my son was brain dead and that they felt like Billy was responsible. I knew he was innocent.
But it's quickly apparent that her belief in Billy Fox's innocence will come at a high price.
This is Peyton and Karen's favorite toys. They played with it a lot, and they used to fight over it.
A court takes away her other son, 2-year-old Peyton, contending he could be at risk in the Fox household.
I've got him, and I know he's in safe hands. You know, I know he is.
Peyton will live with Patrick Herring, father to both Peyton and Cameron, even though he hasn't seen much of Peyton in the year since his bitter split from Cassie.
I was scared to death for Peyton. You know, Cameron's death wasn't an accident. So therefore, I do know that something was wrong and something went wrong in that house.
I feel we have done nothing wrong to have Peyton taken away from me.
Cassie vows to fight for her son.
So we'll put this before the judge and let him make a decision on it.
And hires a custody attorney, Deanne Smith, to help her.
I'm going to go in front of the judge and I'm going to tell the judge, I want my son back. I want my son back. I am not going home without my son.
From this whole thing, you are guilty until proven innocent.
But Billy, facing charges in the death of a baby.
You want to be with your family as much as you can be.
Isn't allowed to see Peyton until his criminal trial is resolved.
My sole purpose is to raise my children and take care of them.
And Cassie, who is facing no charges, is allowed only a few hours a week with her son.
Oh, you got blue stuff on. Give me kids, I missed you.
And those visits here in this community center must be supervised.
What do you see out there?
All the windows have bars on them. The door's locked. There's a video camera up there to make sure I don't try to snatch him or anything. But pretty much as long as you get to visit with your kids, it's all that matters.
I'll see you next time. Give me a kiss.
Bye, Peyton.
Bye.
I love you.
Love you.
Okay, y'all want to help put everything together real quick?
Yeah.
Just move it right here.
When Peyton's third birthday rolls around.
Is the tape in there?
Yeah.
Scott, come set these on the table.
James, I'm going to give you these balloons and you tie them to strings and chairs or whatever.
Cassie goes all out to decorate the community center for a party.
Doesn't he look cute? Hey!
The minutes tick by, but no Peyton.
They're not here yet. Yay. We're just kind of waiting. Have they heard anything?
Finally, Cassie learns that her son is sick.
That he's got the stomach flu.
And won't be able to make his own birthday party.
It happens all the time. He's always sick. Always sick.
Despite the intense disappointment,
he's not going to be here. I guess we'll go ahead and cut a piece.
Cassie insists this party is not canceled.
We'll have his party even if it's 2 months from now.
Only postponed.
Y'all ready? You ready, James? You ready, Grandma?
A week later, in a desperate attempt to regain custody of Peyton, Cassie and her lawyer convince a judge to call an emergency hearing. There, they use the birthday party incident to argue that keeping Peyton with his father is dangerous to the child's health, pointing out that Peyton has been sick a lot recently.
You go right here. And so we asked the court to grant Cassie temporary custody until a hearing could be held. Here's all of our originals.
It's a desperate move.
Go ahead and wait outside the court.
And a long shot. But it works.
Yeah. Oh my God, oh dear, oh God.
The court rewards Cassie temporary custody of Peyton.
Thank you so much, thank you so much. Can they go pick him up now?
Yeah, I won't take him to pick him up.
Thank you so much.
As they get ready to pick up Peyton,
I cannot wait to get him.
They're blindsided.
I got a call from Sheriff Callahan and Judge Purcell has rescinded this.
After the judge is briefed on the charges against Billy, he changes his mind.
Opposing counsel got it rescinded.
Peyton will stay with his father.
Why did he sign that?
I can't tell you, Cassie.
Well, let's go home. I felt like Peyton was ripped away from me, and I'm gonna fight till the day I die for my son.
As Cassie vows to keep her blended family together, Billy and attorney Bob Estrada prepare for trial.
You're charged with injury to a child. The stakes can potentially be very high.
Both well aware that a life sentence hangs over Billy's head.
Anyone that knows me knows I would never hurt a child.
But others in the community do have doubts. The soccer league, where he's coached for years, suddenly bans him from coaching until his criminal trial is resolved.
There's not a person I know that doesn't support me.
The news prompts an outpouring of support from parents, friends, and teachers.
He's wonderful with my children.
You all right? You're not drinking enough water.
I've never seen anybody love kids like he did.
That was a good shot.
Billy was a big fixture here at the school. He was a very involved dad.
Two.
The response forces the Soccer Association to take another look at Billy's suspension.
Bob Black.
Bob, I was calling to find out if you'd heard from...
Oh, you bet. It's the decision of the committee that your coaching privileges are restored.
Okay, well, I appreciate it.
Billy Thank is reinstated.
Much. So I get to go to practice today and, you know, go back to what I like doing the most. So I'm really happy.
But Billy knows it's a small victory in a bigger battle.
When do we quit?
Never!
To keep his family together.
Peyton was my little companion.
I still wonder if he even would recognize me.
And to prove his innocence.
It was the worst feeling in my life. Just all the life drained out of him.
I just never thought things like that happened. I never thought there was a possibility that Cameron would die, or, I never thought that.
Her boyfriend awaits trial in the death of her son. But far from distancing herself from Billy Fox,
I never doubted Billy. I knew he was innocent.
Cassie Herring makes her commitment to him official.
We've gotten married, I guess.
Not only that.
Look at all the gifts I got.
It's a playpen.
It's a playpen deal.
But a baby is on the way.
Love you.
All this with Billy facing a possible life sentence.
He's 7 pounds and 3 ounces.
In December 2002,
oh my gosh, you look beautiful.
The Fox family welcomes its newest member, Bailey. But 12 hours later, joy turns to sorrow.
Can you go get me a Kleenex, please?
This right here?
Armed with a court order, two social workers from Child Protective Services arrive at the hospital to take Bailey, not yet one day old, away from his mother. The family has an hour to say goodbye.
He's so pretty, isn't he?
Leaving him that day was almost like having my heart ripped out.
Taking a newborn baby away from its mother is a pretty drastic step.
We certainly empathize with the mother, but you have to appreciate our side too.
Jeff Wool, the CPS spokesperson for Texas, makes no apologies for the decision, believing Bailey could be at risk in the Fox home.
That's our responsibility to make sure that in an investigation like this where a child has died, that the other children are protected.
Cassie had offered to leave Billy, move out, and raise Bailey on her own. But Child Protective Services said that wouldn't help. Why not? Because their experts now believe that Cameron could have been injured an hour or two earlier than they originally thought. That would include time when Cassie was still in the house. And so in their eyes, she is now a suspect too.
Cameron woke up and his hand started twitching and he let out a gasp of air.
Remember, Billy has said Cameron had his fatal seizure while Cassie was out shopping that fateful day in 2001.
Whoever was around him at the moment he became unconscious is the person you should be looking at.
And the medical examiner for the state has said that Cameron's brain injury was so severe he would have been unconscious seconds after it occurred.
Instantly?
Yes, ma'am.
Not
instantly.
10 minutes?
No.
Not 15 minutes?
No.
But since other experts aren't so absolutely certain as to time, Child Protective Services, CPS, now says it isn't sure who hurt Cameron.
Either one of them could have been the ones who actually inflicted the damage. We feel like there is evidence there that suggests that Cassie may have been responsible for the death of Cameron.
I mean, that's a case of reasonable doubt, in my mind, right there.
To Billy's lawyer, Bob Estrada, CPS's position is a godsend because it so confuses the criminal case against Billy.
I have no problem with the fact that they disagree with the police and with the district attorney. I want them to continue to disagree.
Billy's new son, meanwhile, has been placed with his grandmother, Donna.
We promised him we'd go by the rules, and we do.
Is the keys in the car?
And Cassie is allowed visits
okay.
to breastfeed. It's an unusual arrangement at best.
I'm tired.
Cassie arrives at Donna's for Bailey's 10 o'clock feeding.
I have an electric blanket plugged in to the outside of the house. She takes the electric blanket and puts it in the car and then goes out there and sleeps in the car.
To be there to feed the baby during the night, Cassie must sleep in her van outside.
I'm coming. Hello.
Hello. She comes in at 1 o'clock and feeds Bailey.
Bailey, are you hungry?
45-minute timed feedings.
Are you ready to start taping it?
That must be videotaped.
Look at that belly.
Cassie, it's time to go.
Then it's back out to the van for Cassie until the next feeding. Every 3 hours.
Are you hungry now?
All night.
And sometimes it's pretty cold out there too.
On this particular evening, it is 21 degrees. Billy, meanwhile, is allowed only supervised visits with Bailey a few hours a week.
He's not the same person he used to be. Right now, he's very depressed.
Is the stress getting to him? I think it is.
And with Billy's upcoming trial, that's what Bob Estrada is worried about.
They're going to ask you some questions that are designed to get under your skin.
Estrada knows the prosecution will hammer home its argument that Billy Fox is a child killer.
Could be a rough trial, could have a verdict of serious consequences.
And Billy's most important witness,
first of all, dress appropriately,
probably will be Billy himself.
Good morning. My name is Bob Estrada, and I have the honor of representing Billy Fox before you today.
With just weeks to go, Estrada stages a mini trial to see if a panel of mock jurors will buy Billy's story.
Cameron was in the living room playing.
Billy runs through the weekend Cameron died.
So I told James to bring Cameron to me so that I
starting with his fall on Friday night.
And when he came through, he fell. So we grabbed Cameron and we headed out the door to the emergency room. The doctor told us, he said, well, he's going to be a little dazed.
His seizure, Sunday afternoon.
Well, then Sunday, and he just let out this gasp for air like he was choking. It was the worst feeling in my life. Just like all the life drained out of him.
Just rate 1 through 5 on each of the direct boxes only.
After Billy's testimony, Estrada realizes there is a lot of work ahead.
I don't think he's ready today. I think he's getting readier and readier.
Only half the jurors believed Billy's story.
It may, in the end, come down to you. Do you want to take the stand?
I plan on taking the stand.
Yourself, or do you need me to do it?
I can do it.
I spend time with my kids and my family.
No, I got a fish.
Catch one?
Yeah.
The scholar's the best fisherman, aren't you, scholar?
Mm-hmm.
Well, I will try to make some special moments between now and then.
That one.
You know, just in case things did go wrong, I could leave some memories.
Billy Fox braces himself for his upcoming trial, now only a few weeks away.
You know, he doesn't know after the trial whether he's going to go home to his family or if he's going to be in custody.
The charge, injury to a child, carries a potential life sentence. But just 8 days before trial,
it's a complicated case.
Prosecutors, apparently worried about losing this case, unexpectedly offer Billy Fox a phenomenal deal. No jail time at all, in exchange for a plea of no contest.
No contest, that is, you're not admitting guilt.
That is, Billy wouldn't have to admit guilt. He'd only have to concede that given the evidence, a jury could find him guilty.
You don't say you're guilty, but you might as well if you say no contest.
Billy says, forget it.
We're not accepting the plea bargain.
He is not interested in any deal.
I just think it's doing what's right for Cameron.
He's determined to clear his name.
He's standing up and saying, I'm an innocent man and I'm not going to do anything that would make anybody think that I was anything but an innocent man, and a no contest plea is not good enough.
April 17th, 2003.
I will be putting my life in 12 individuals' hands.
State of Texas versus Billy Fox.
Billy Fox is charged with injury to a child in the death of his wife's
son. And it's scary.
just minutes before showtime.
Before proceedings were going to start, they said, this is your last chance.
Billy has a complete change of heart. He accepts the state's offer, 10 years probation, for a plea of no contest.
It was a scary thought of just, you know, not knowing what was going to happen to you after you put your life in 12 people's hands.
When you take a plea, I mean, there is sort of an underlying assumption that something happened here.
Right.
And in fact, I mean, you are the only person on the face of the earth who knows what happened that day.
And I know that nothing happened to Cameron on Sunday. He was fine until he had his seizure.
The criminal case now is behind them, but there will be more days in court.
And I'm going to fight till the day I die for my son.
Fighting for shared custody of Cassie's son, Peyton, who's been living with his father.
Give me kids, I missed you.
And on this day, for full custody of newborn Bailey, who's been in the care of Billy's mother.
Everyone here is looking out for the best interest of Bailey Fox.
Child Protective Services, which took Bailey away at birth, has done a complete about-face and now is recommending his return.
Texas law basically says that we shoot for reunification whenever possible.
Doubly astonishing, given that CPS still thinks one of the parents caused Cameron's death.
Medical evidence indicates that either Billy or Cassie were responsible for the injuries that caused Cameron Herring's death.
But the agency tells the court that despite its suspicions, it still feels it's in Bailey's best interest to be home, reunited with his parents. The judge agrees.
Oh, we're ecstatic. We're just ecstatic.
Yay.
You ready to go home?
Hey, bye-bye.
It's kind of like bringing my newborn home, and only the case is Bailey's now 8 months old, and I don't want to miss out on any more milestones.
The Foxes feel they've a chance at last for a new beginning.
It's hard without Cameron.
But sadly, one without Cameron, who would have just turned 3.
Our family will never be the same. Our, you know, marriage will never be the same. Our, just nothing will ever be the same without Cameron.
Billy Fox successfully completed his 10 years of probation. Patrick Herring won full custody of Peyton.